Welcome in, kids. Almost an overbearing amount of podcasting people on the show today. Barry Taco, how are you guys?
Doing great. How are you?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I get some excitement out of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm excited today because we get to talk to people that we have grown to love and admire over the last couple of years as their show and their podcast has grown, the Ruham Kids. I didn't really know their names, so I just call them Ruham 1 and Ham 2 and Ham 3.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. That's all right, because I keep thinking Parker Reed is two different people. So Ham 1 is a whole lot easier.
Taco, does that surprise you?
No, not at all.
Barry just can't get the name right?
Yeah.
He could never get the
name. I know. Every time he was in the text, it says Parker and Reed. I'm like,
Parker and Reed.
Same person, you know.
Love those guys.
I love Parker. Hey, you know what? Love Parker, hate Reed, though.
Yeah, I don't like that Reed.
So we got Parker today and Michael from the Ruham cast. We still don't know in an unidentified location where Ham 2 is. We'll talk about that with them and what they expect out of Bonnaroo. I have a feeling that they're going to have a one-track mind about who they're seeing and what they're doing this year, because if you listen to their show at all, they just keep talking about the same bands over and over and over. These guys are what you would call hype for a couple of artists that I don't remember friends of ours being hyped for in years past.
Yeah. Would you say they stan?
They might stan these bands. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I always get really weary whenever I hear somebody get very excited about a certain artist at Bonnaroo, because we had a really bad experience with one of our campmates, Mr. Brian Stone, star of the Stone on Air podcast, because if you love local news about Chattanooga, Tennessee, this is the podcast for you. So Brian comes to Bonnaroo every year. Who doesn't need to stay informed with half-thought-out opinions about the news of Chattanooga? But he shows up to Bonnaroo every year, and he's always miserable. He hates everything, but ends up having the greatest time in his life. He will never admit it. One year he comes, and he's over-the-top excited about the Shins. He has just found the Shins. I mean, the band's been out 15 years at this point. He just now discovers them, and he can't wait to go to the show. So the day of the show, they've got like a 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock slot or something on a Saturday. He wakes up that morning. He refuses to do anything that day. He won't go to another show. He doesn't want to burn himself out. He won't even drink a beer. He wants to be in perfect tip-top shape for the Shins later that afternoon. So what does he do? He sits in his car and listens to nothing but the Shins all day. I mean, 8 hours deep listening to the Shins over and over and over. Goes to the show, and let's say it starts at 5 o'clock. We're all sitting at camp, and around 5:25, here comes Brian Stone, looking miserable, looking unhappy as a human could be. And we're like, Brian, why are you back so early? The show's not even over. He goes, that sucked. I hate the Shins. I'm never listening to them ever again. In that moment, we saw him like go through the range of emotions that went from the most excited he's ever been for a show to being completely depressed and hating an artist like he's never hated before. This is why I caution you to ever be all in on one band or one show that you could see at Bonnaroo.
He went from immaculate to mid really quickly.
He did. Yeah.
Didn't he also sit at camp during the McCartney show? Because, you know, who wants to go see that overhyped thing?
Oh, he never saw the show,
right.
But B, you've never met somebody who had more opinions about a show that he's never seen than that guy.
Yeah.
He couldn't stop talking about how average and boring the McCartney show was, but yet never went.
And why does everybody keep talking about it? Just let it go. Everyone keeps talking about this McCartney show. It wasn't the best ever. Let it go.
It's the same show you're going to see at the Georgia Dome in 2 weeks.
That's exactly right.
Same thing. Same show. But they're very hype about a certain show, and we get to dig in a little bit more on hashtag NAMIs and the NAMI culture and nomenclature that Barry just doesn't understand. I'm very excited about this part.
These guys are the source. These are my go-to guys for new NAMs.
New noms.
When Barry says we go straight to the source, we go to the big ones, the really important ones that can explain to us what in the world some of these damn words mean.
It's where I learn everything. Yep.
Oh man. We should have a check-in every week with new words and just have Parker pop in and tell us the definition of millennial terms that Dad may not understand.
Yeah.
Like it. Today's guest, Parker, with a new...
Just right at the end, we do a new millennial word and his little head just pops up in a circle and gives us the definition of it.
This is like Sesame Street. This is like brought to you by the word... Mid.
The Ruham word of the day. The Ruham nom word of the
day. Oh, my God, guys.
The Ruham nom for the week is...
I'm telling you, the sponsorship opportunities of this certain segment, high.
This is the best idea we've ever had.
So we'll talk to them in a second, but first, let's go through some of the news of the week. We saw some festivals get announced. We'll talk about that here in a second. But the big one is that we have Bonnaroo tickets to give away. And we are getting voicemails by the dozens each and every day for tickets. Explain how we're giving away the tickets first.
Go ahead, Russ.
All right. To get tickets to enter to win, we want you to call us and give us a voicemail. The number is, Brad, be quiet, 423-667-7877. It spells out had more Russ. Call that number. Leave us a voicemail, and we want to hear your best Bonnaroo memory, a funny story, or if you've never been, tell us why you want to go, what you're looking forward to seeing, and we'll go through all these voicemails, which we've received many so far since coming in last week with this. We'll play them on the air, and we'll pick a winner.
Man, he has turned into a professional broadcaster, Barry. I'm so proud. That was seamless, my friend. More spelled with M-O-R.
Yeah, M-O-R.
Yes, I appreciate that. M-O-R, no E, had more Russ. Which, by the way, apparently confused a lot of people. But just type it out, had more, no E, Russ, and you'll get right to us.
Yeah, just look on your phone keypad thingy.
Yeah, and starting next week, we'll start playing some of these voicemails. The festival that got announced the other day struck me because... I feel like we've done this before. How about this? I'm going to give you some headliners, and you tell me if this is something you've heard before. Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Ozzy Osbourne, AC/DC, Tool, Iron Maiden. Does that not sound eerily like the Exit 311 festival, whatever festival that
Exit 111,
Bonnaroo folks
put? Yeah.
Exit 111. From a few years ago, very similar, huh?
Similar vibes.
Yeah. That's the Power Trip Festival that they're doing out in the same field that they do Coachella, done by the same people, Golden Voice. It struck me as something that eerily similar to what the Bonnaroo people tried to do with Exit 111. And then we never heard anything back about that. Was that a COVID thing, Barry?
Were they
ever going to do it again if not for COVID?
I think it didn't do as well as they'd hoped, right? I mean, you went, Russ. I went for a little while that first day. It was cold, but it wasn't huge. It was a very small crowd. Right?
On purpose, though. They purposefully cut the size of the festival in half.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, they shrunk. Well, it wasn't called Center Room, but they shrunk the perimeter down quite a bit. And I think they just had two stages. If I remember right.
Everyone I know that went enjoyed it other than the cold. But I don't know. I mean, I never really heard why they didn't do it again. But I'm going to guess it just they didn't do the numbers that they thought.
Yeah. And okay. I wish they would bring it back. I had a great time. And I think a lot of other people did too. I think they could, if they wanted to, they could make it into a recurring thing and build it up.
I don't remember if it was COVID. It would have been close.
It was not COVID because they announced shortly after the only year they did it, they said, we're not doing this again. You know, well, they didn't say that, but
never again.
Never again.
Yeah. That's a good lineup, though, that you just read off.
I would go see that.
I would go see all those bands. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand. But the Exit 111 Fest... Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Slayer, Deftones, ZZ Top, may not have the heft it may, you know, tend to be a tad more Southern than what Golden Voice put out, but sort of the same concept, right? Megadeth, you know, Ghost.
Yeah, for sure.
Coheed and Cambria,
it's a headbanger.
Sort of the same
it's a
sort
headbanger's
of
ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a headbanger's ball.
Headbanger's sure. ball. the other festival I wanted to talk about, because we've never talked about it and it kind of bums me out, but it's something that I have been dying to go to for years, and even living in Chattanooga, I never got there. Barry, have you done anything with the Big Ears Festival in Knoxville?
Yeah, we've done a couple of things. That's actually okay. Ashley Capp's baby.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
He's very, very involved. Yes. I mean, he's involved, was involved in all of his festivals, but that is his, and he has said to me that is his baby. That's the one he really
yes.
loves.
Yeah. Now, why I've never been, it really bums me out, but it's this weekend. And when you're listening to this, it's already have happened. But I did want to just talk about it with you guys for a second, because Big Ears, to me, always had really interesting lineups, but never had names like they have now. Andrew Bird, Lucius, Sun Lux, Sun Ra Orchestra, and the Weather Station. Sun Ra alone is worth every penny you want in my bank account. I don't know if I've even been in the same hemisphere to see Sun Ra play. If they have, I've just totally missed it. But this lineup this year is out of control good for Big Ears. And before, in years past, they've tried to be, you know, pretty out there. But this one sort of blew me away, and it went right by me when it was announced. I don't even remember hearing the single thing about Big Ears up until literally this weekend as it's starting to happen as we record this. So it probably is way too late for you now, but boy, go up there, Barry, if you get a few minutes. I'd love to see what the setup is like.
It's all over town. It's kind of because when Grace was, my daughter was working for AC, she would work on this, and she actually was sort of involved in transporting artists from venues to venue. And so it's, you know, a church here, a small theater there, type of thing. And it's interesting to hear you say that, because as we've said many, many times, it's always about if you know somebody on the lineup that you're really into.
Sure, that's right.
But this is a music snobs music festival. Mm-hmm. You got to really know, you know, who you're. There are not a lot of radio hits on this lineup.
Yeah.
put it that way.
I know. I know.
But it is a intensely curated lineup. So
yeah, and I hate that we're talking about it right now, because it has true. Already happened by the time you're listening to this.
True.
And that's how like irritated I am about I'm irritated with myself that I didn't even notice. It didn't even occur to me. And I hate when that happens, because if I wish we would have spent some time talking about it when it was announced, and I didn't even hear. I heard nothing about it, and I feel so irritated with myself. Like, for instance, like you go through, like, back in 2019, it doesn't matter. I'm just now frustrated, and I'm circling the drain now, Barry, just getting irritated with myself about this, because I really wish I was there. All right, anything else? Anything else going on before we talk to the hams?
No. Not for me. No.
All right. Except for how's the sheetrock going, Dad?
Going great.
Yeah?
Yep. I'm elbows deep in mud.
Yeah?
yeah. Tape and mud. So which means the drywall is up, so the worst part's over.
Good for you.
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, by the time this comes out, I will be in St. Louis. Guess what I'm doing up there?
Oh, I can't wait. You're a big St. Louis Cardinals fan, and you're going to opening day of the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. I love birds. Yeah.
Yeah. okay.
You're taking actually, a bus. You're taking a bus, right?
No, we're taking the engine out of the bus. The engine is already out. We're going to drive it up to St. Louis and drop it off at Midwest Air Cooled in St. Louis, Missouri. He's going to completely rebuild the engine.
You're going to rebuild the bus's engine now. Is it going to be ready in time for Bonnaroo?
I bet not. I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do we get the bus? So do we tow the bus to Bonnaroo and just sit it there as like a... Just sort of like a figurehead?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to come up with a plan. I've been trying to borrow an engine, maybe like, you know, just build one out of, you know, spare parts. You know, I've only have to go 100 miles, so it's not like it has to, you know.
You can borrow an engine?
I've been, you know, finding people. People have engines, yeah. We started a couple weeks ago. We did a live stream where we tried to strip down an engine and tried to build it, and it wasn't... I don't think it's going to make it. So I think the plan now is I'm going to tow it up to Bonnaroo.
This is how little I know about cars, Barry. I didn't know you could just like swap out and borrow an engine from somebody.
I know. He told me that the other day, and it reminded me my brother bought an MG from somebody, and it came with an extra engine, which I...
What?
Yeah.
Like a spare tire?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, that can't be good, right?
Did you just put it in the trunk?
If you know you need an extra engine, you're probably looking at problems. But yeah, you bought a car with an extra engine.
Yeah. I mean, Taco, that is this something that you can just do on like an afternoon? And just put a new engine in?
Yeah, with enough beer, you can accomplish anything in an afternoon.
Is that because the bus is so easily transferable? Could I do that with like one of my Volkswagens? Is it that easy?
It's a little harder.
Is it car dependent, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, okay. You know, the bus engine is basically held in with four bolts and, you know, very little. There's no electronics just about. So there's not a lot of wiring you've got to hook up. There's no air conditioning system. There's no power. There's no belts running everything, you know, power steering and all that.
Okay.
It's a pretty much easy drop in.
Oh, okay.
But
you don't think you can build one. You need to borrow someone. So if someone has an available engine, please reach out to us so that Russ can get his bus up to Bonnaroo.
Please fax me if you have an engine that I can borrow.
Fax me your engine.
No, that's the voicemail line. The fax line is 706-965-4335. Write that down.
706-965-4335.
That's my fax line. 4335.
Yep. Have we discovered what that spells?
I haven't even looked. We could look at that. But anyways, okay. I think the plan now, I think I'm just going to tow it. I'm just going to basically, it's just going to be like a pull behind camper, the bus is going to be. So I'll just tow it up there.
Wow. I got, hang on. Hadwok Geek.
Hadwok Geek.
Oh, wait, that's not Had. It's not Had. Sorry, it's not Had. It's nothing because he can't do a zero.
Yeah, zero is not a letter.
706 Wok Geek.
All right.
You're a Wok Geek.
Yeah.
Wok Geek. 706 Wok Geek.
Yeah.
Wok Geek being an engine. All right, let's get into the Ruham kids. Of course, you know them from the Ruham podcast, available at, I'm sure, ruham.com. What is their website? Or at Ruham, I'm sure. They've got their own.
They're at Ruham on Twitter, Instagram. We'll put up their social media and their links.
Okay,
so
good.
Find the podcast.
Follow them, listen to them. Let's get into our chat with the Ruham kids on the What Podcast.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The vibes are immaculate, team. The vibes are immaculate. Two-thirds of the hams are here. Ham one, ham three. Hello, guys.
Thanks for having us.
How's it going?
Vibes are high.
Are you? Vibes are immaculate. They're high. They're mid. I want to start with where, I don't know, is ham two growing some sort of new facial feature in a Petri dish right now? Like, what is, where is he? Is he kind of busy? Mixing some sort of strange facial decision.
Ham too is making sure that his companion is healthy at the vet.
Okay. His mustache.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you say companion, can you clarify that?
That's exactly how I want to put it.
Type of companion. Okay. All right.
He did say at the vet.
Taco, Barry, Parker sent a snap of Ham 2 the other day, and I swear to God, I didn't understand what kind of, like, baby woolly mammoth had just been birthed walking through this. Like, what in the world has this kid done? You go through like a quarter life crisis at like 25, 27, where like you decide, you know what? I'm going to go with a mullet. Something happens at you that age that make very bad choices.
We were in some kind of mood. He said, can you FaceTime Brad? And Brad would never pick up.
I'm not picking up. I know. I can't take the look seriously. How's everyone doing? How are you guys? Nice to meet you, Michael. I've never met you.
Yeah, no, never met you either.
When did you get part of these alcoholics?
I'd probably say I always have been, just, you know, behind the scenes the whole time.
Yeah. Are you a fellow ham connoisseur?
I am. It's a little depressing, but okay. I love it.
What part of the world are you in?
Same as Parker's. Literally, we're about, I don't know, a couple miles away from each other.
Okay.
So. He's from the land of sky blue waters, though.
I am.
Oh, is that right?
Ooh. Yes.
I wish I knew what that meant.
It sounds so good on the afternoon show.
It's deep in the mountains of Minneapolis. Okay.
That's where all you guys met?
At in school.
Is that right?
At college.
Yeah.
In Minneapolis.
Iowa. Iowa State.
Oh, okay.
Barry's just saying cities now.
I don't know where the land of sky blue waters is. It's not here, I know that.
So what's been going on with you guys? How's life? How's the world?
Well, Michael just had a birthday, and we celebrated by drinking the largest hams and as few drinks as possible. So things great. Things are great.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how you guys get ladies, huh?
Yeah, by drinking as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean.
So romantic.
Well, you know, they do hams and Taco does PBR. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it works for me.
How's that working out?
It really does work for Taco. I don't know how, but it works. Every time Taco sends a picture of whoever he's with, I go, who is this time? And 90% of the time he responds with, I don't even know. I have no idea. Man, the man can romance anything.
Half of them are named Brittany.
How many are still living at the house?
Last I checked, none.
Okay.
I'll go check the rest of the rooms.
Yeah, you need to do a suite.
Yeah, you do have a house. It's got a lot of rooms that you haven't seen in a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Parker, last time I saw you, you were in New York. You came to town. I showed you the sights, and then I watched you cry at the 1975.
I think the video that you have has me in the feels, actually.
You're in the feels. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Were they mid? Or are they mid feels? High feels?
High.
What were the
absolutely high feels?
Okay, high feels. Yeah. Got it. Okay. When how do you rank the vibes? Like, go from top to bottom vibe, like the vibe chart.
Oh, like a vibe tier list.
Yes,
Michael, it starts at mid.
That's where it starts.
No,
vibes start at mid.
I would say. Like not vibes or like low vibes, right? Like,
okay.
To really be honest there.
Do I need a pen and pencil?
Yeah, this is a lesson for the hashtag nommies.
Can you fax it to us?
All right.
Like, I need a pen and pencil.
Sorry, so we start at the bottom. It's low vibes?
Low vibes. The vibes are not high. It's really just, you know, very straightforward.
And there's a distinction.
That's right? A popular one.
That's important.
Vibes are not
okay,
high.
Vibes those two, it's not high.
Pretty interchangeable. Then we go, you know, vibes are mid.
Okay.
You know, mid. Okay. And then
I'd say immaculate is the very top.
Okay.
I'd agree.
All right. And then is there like a in between mid and immaculate and high? Is there like something that sort of circles the high?
Not really, unless you want to use different synonyms for high.
It's kind of.
Oh, then we change even high. This is very, very confusing.
It's kind of up to discretion. Whatever. You could make something up right now, Brad.
You know, I'm not going to do that.
No, me either. Because it would be horrible.
These vibes blow. That's what I mean.
Is this like when you go to the doctor's office and they point to a chart and they say, "What's your pain level today? Like, what's your vibe level today?"
The various smiley faces.
I will say, yeah. Taco, it's such a good point because every time I listen to the Ruham podcast, I do sort of feel like I'm looking at one of those eye charts where like I have to cover my eye to sort of like, what exactly are they saying right now?
Yeah.
You need a whole dictionary to get through a damn episode of that show. All right. So then you have, so vibes is one thing. And then what's another very popular Parkerism that, I couldn't stop getting chased with while you were in New York.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, Bay Area, we spent an entire night where they were just talking Chinese. Like, there were three of them that just were just circling around, and I felt like the oldest man in the room.
Wow. Imagine had I been there. You'd have felt like a kid.
I know. I need you around at all times, to be honest.
Yeah, it's what I'm there for. Hype.
Oh, yeah, you got to get hype.
Hype's a good one, yeah.
Hype
is a good one.
All right.
I'm looking in our Insta DMs to see what you send me.
Barry, that means Instagram. Direct message.
I know that one.
Okay.
I know. I don't go there, but I know what that is.
Okay. All right. If Barry talks about social media like it's a part of town that he doesn't want to have to drive through.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Apparently, I tried to answer somebody just yesterday, right, Russ, and did it wrong somehow.
Somehow replied and didn't say anything.
Which is better than the last time I tried, Barry, which was I apparently put it out to everybody,
Barry,
and didn't mean to.
Not responding to something is Russ's move. That's stealing his bit now. All right, Parker, what else you got for us? Let's see. I gotta get the whole dictionary going here. Vibes, hype, what else we got?
I don't know. It's kind of, I'm looking at the aforementioned nomenclature. Okay. You're just kind of,
hashtag nommies.
You just gotta send me vibe over and over again.
Okay. So how many times a day, or how many times, let's put it this way. Let's start with Bonnaroo. Where is the vibe chart for overall Bonnaroo this year, according to Hams 1 and 3?
Michael?
I'd say a solid, like, vibes are high.
High vibes, got it. Okay.
High vibes.
Vibes are high. Oh, yeah.
Vibes are high, yeah.
They get higher, you know, as the calendar flips through forward. Like,
sure.
Closer, it's like, they're going to get to Immaculate here in the next month or so, probably. But really? Right now, they're high.
What could happen to like knock them down just a peg or two? Could anything happen to get the vibes becoming mid?
Michael Paramore dropping?
That vibes will be low at that point for me.
Haley getting sick.
That would suck.
Okay.
Foo canceling again. That would suck.
Beth's getting deported would be tragic.
That's a big one on your list, isn't it?
Yeah, number one.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
All right. So
yeah, that's the one
for
right?
me. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Where did let's start with? Where you guys put your vibes? Your vibes being high. What makes those vibes high? Paramore, the Beths. Who else?
Knocked Loose.
Knocked Loose is a huge one. Remy Wolf. Vibes are super high for Remy Wolf.
Okay.
Odessa, I've been getting super into.
Okay. You know, here's the problem with Odessa, and I've seen the show. I'm sure that it'll be the exact same show that I saw. But, man, who can just sit around on a casual night listening to that? You know, never have I said to myself, you know, I really would love to put on a beautiful plate of pasta. Let's make some spaghetti tonight, honey, and listen. Unchiga, 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 unchiga.
Dude, they have a collab.
What a romantic night.
They have a Leon Bridges feature that I got to send you then, because that'll go well with your angel hair.
I think we prefer a tagliatelle. It's a tagliatelle anyway. So what I like is the any time that a band needs to sort of like soften their edge, they always bring Leon Bridges in. You know, like Krungbin bringing Leon Bridges in, man, all of a sudden they're open to an entirely new demographic. It's a smart move. Bring in Leon Bridges. Everything becomes better.
I'd also shout out.
Can we get Leon Bridges?
I'll make a call. Hang on. I'll make a call. Yeah, Leon.
Yeah. I'd shout out.
I've asked many times, by the way, for Leon Bridges. I have.
I'd shout out Tyler Childers also.
Yeah, me too.
Love it.
Why?
You guys, let me
explain.
No, I'm serious. Why? I want to hear.
I don't know. Just that kind of brand of Americana and country. He's also super big around here for playing events around this part of the
I think that you only like bands and artists that look like you. Tyler Childers and you, same person.
I just found out his tour manager grew up with my daughter here. I think I know him, so that's interesting. What I was going to ask, though, you guys were a little bit like us. When the lineup first came out, you were, what, mid? Is that and then as you looked into it more, it became a little more almost immaculate, right? I mean, see, this is why I should. let me start over. When it first came out, you liked it pretty well.
Just point.
And then as you got a little more into
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it went up.
I'm praying to God.
Right here, went
I'm praying to God, Parker, that at some point in a professional newspaper setting, Barry writes, the vibes were high that day.
That's when you'll know my career is over. The other thing I wanted to say is that what I love about listening to you guys on the show when you do this is it just rolls right off the tongue. I mean, like me just trying just now was horrible.
Yeah.
But when you guys do it, it sounds so right. That's why I love it so much. But back to my question.
Please.
The more you dug into this lineup, right, it's gotten better and better. Am I right there?
Well, I think it helps that for Michael and I, like, so, you know, two of our favorite groups of all time are on this. So it had that, like, immediate payoff.
Which are the Beths and Paramore?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the Beths. Can we talk like actual human beings for a second?
No.
Oh, tell me about the Beths and where your love of them started. Because you flew all the way to like North Korea to see them. Where did you go just now?
Out of Aroa, New Zealand.
Okay. Just to see them.
No. No, that was coincidental, I promise.
Oh, of course.
I promise. Right. They were actually touring the U.S. the entire time I was there, so.
All right, so you love this band, why?
I don't know, it's hard to explain. Like, they played our Downtown Fest in 2018, and I mean, just, they're just hooks on hooks on hooks, which is Parker core to the nth degree. Like, the backing vocals are doing hooks behind the lead lines, and the vocal harmonies are immaculate. I mean, it's just it's just you know, some of the best power pop you'll ever hear.
All right, and how many times have you seen them?
Actually, just once.
Okay, and that was in New Zealand.
No, that was in 2018, downtown.
Oh, okay.
Des Moines.
Oh wait, so did you even go to the show in New Zealand?
There wasn't one. They were touring the U.S.
Oh, why did I think that they were there?
That's not a.
Did I read it?
I don't know, but he said that a minute ago.
Well, no, I thought I read. Did I thought it's one of you Hams people texted or tweeted that, you know, you were in New Zealand seeing the Beths. Did I miss that? Did I misread that?
Yeah, it's possible it was a joke. It was.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I can't get behind these jokes things.
Nah.
Okay. Yeah. So that was it. That was, and it was well, like a downtown free show, and you just got in after that?
Yeah, outdoor paid show, but yeah, and then it was a it was a slow burn, which peaked like right now.
What if the show stinks?
You know, I'm willing to take that chance. And I'll be so close that I'll be going down with it.
Okay.
I'm staking my entire career on this show.
Okay. There it is. There, to that point, and to sort of the my point too, those two, like I've always said, if your favorite band's on the lineup, it's the best lineup ever. But it goes a little deeper than that, right? I mean, it's not just those two.
Oh, yeah.
The reason that you like this lineup is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And we've always talked about this, and you guys have talked about it, that and to Brad's question, the idea of putting all of your sort of emphasis on one act can be tricky at Bonnaroo, right? Because so many things can happen.
Yeah.
I would say it's almost even exhausting to just like put so much and just like, I'm here for just this artist because there's so much, and just like open your ears for like maybe 5 minutes and you fall in love with like a new act you've never heard of before. So.
No, it's exactly right. If you go, I'm not going to say the name of the band, Barry, but, you know, high on our list one year was a band that we adore. We walked to the show, and it was one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life. And it has soured me on this band ever since. And it's taken multiple years for me to get over the burn that I felt from that Bonnaroo show. So, yeah, that's a great point. Don't put your eggs in one basket when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, right. Just looking at, like, you know, my top songs of the year to this day, I mean, so many of them are just groups that are, you know, from them that I didn't even see, like Lawrence the Band, like, know through the Bonnaroo playlist. That's the number one. When they ever come back, it's over for you haters.
Wait, Lawrence has been to Bonnaroo? What year was that?
2016.
Okay. Turns out I missed that show.
I did too.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's part of my timeline.
Okay, I'll be sure to check that out. Okay, so you got Paramore. What else are you guys looking at that piques your interest?
Jeez, let's see. Jid is an artist that I've been really excited about since the 2020 lineup and still haven't seen yet, but I've seen a bunch of videos for his shows, and for hip hop, it is really fun and I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Volpec is an exciting one that I think our entire group is just waiting for right after Kendrick.
Michael, not sure. To interrupt, but how many, cause we're just now introduced to you. How many times have you been to Bonnaroo? What number will this be for you?
This will be officially my third.
Okay.
Fifth attempt, third actual appearance.
So when you look at videos online of Jid, right, and you see the show, do you have a good feeling of how something like that translates to the farm after three years now?
Oh yeah. By this point, because it's like, for example, I will just kind of sit on a weekend and like watch the Lollapalooza or Coachella live stream just out of curiosity, and I just kind of imagine like, all right, probably in a tent. And it's probably late night, so you have like a bunch of people really giddy, just ready to do some crazy stuff. And it's pretty fun to just imagine what that's going to be like.
Well, I hear that Denzel last year, Michael.
Oh my God. I was in so much pain, but it was a great time.
Can we do this just for a minute? You guys, I mean, we know who you are. We love the podcast, but I don't know that I've ever really asked you guys why you decided to do a podcast and what was the idea behind it. I know Brad and I have talked about it. We were sitting at lunch in downtown Chattanooga and realized we talk about Bonnaroo pretty much 365 days of the year and thought it'd be fun to do a podcast for 2 months, right? And here we are 6 years later and stunned at where it's gone. What were you guys thinking when you decided to do the Ruham podcast, and what's been the sort of I don't know, what's been the result of it? I assume it's still fun or you wouldn't keep doing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the root is the same. You know, we are just same deal, just kind of chatting about it so much. And we had this account, which is to this day kind of just a meme account. And we are like, we could put it out under this. And And so there it is. And, you know, Brad, we're actually kind of behind on our bi-quarterly episode. Oh no.
So they only do an episode per quarter because Barry, as they have found out, you can't talk about Bonnaroo every week. You run out of material.
They're smarter than we are. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's more like it's legit more like we're busy or too busy. You know, I went to the Beth's homeland for 2 weeks, for example.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to Mardi Gras. We still kept putting out episodes, Parker. Where's your dedication?
Y'all are professionals. We just shitpost on the internet.
I mean, don't sell yourself short. I will say this about the Ruham podcast. It is my favorite Bonnaroo podcast that also covers ham beer.
Ah, thank God.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Top of the, yeah. Absolute top of the list. Thank Vibes God. Are immaculate when it comes to Bonnaroo podcast that covers also ham's beer.
And I don't know that I've ever said it to you personally, but seeing the picture of the Ruham poster in that bar, that's pretty solid, man.
Yeah, good work getting the licensing to use that pretty in public. Cool. I don't know how your lawyers cut that deal, but congratulations.
It's our lives' work. Thank you for recognizing. Yeah.
Props.
Yeah, I wonder how many cease and desists we're going to get the second that we start plastering PBR all over everything we do. Yeah, so you started because you love Bonnaroo, but then it continues into when you get actually on site at Bonnaroo. What is your camping experience like? Do you you guys do group and what's that group turned into over the past couple of years?
Michael, group leader?
What's that?
Michael's acting group leader, so I think he could tell us
about that. Is that right?
At this point, I am, yeah.
missed the meeting, huh?
Mikey cut.
Just found out.
Yeah.
It's usually how that happens for me.
Isn't it great, Taco, that our group leader is Barry? Is that wonderful?
Yeah, it is. I'm so glad we decided that so long ago.
It's either the only guy that shows up or the one who doesn't show up.
No, it's been fun because, I mean, it's basically encapsulating the whole story of, like, how I even went is Parker kept, like, poking my, like, my chest every single week. Hey, you want to go to Bonnaroo? And I'm like, no. And then, like, 2019, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go.
I owe Michael.
It's literally just kind of repeating that.
I owe Michael a Riot Fest eventually. That's his.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, group, we did group for the first time. What's up?
Yeah, I found your group. I think I stumbled into your group camp last year.
Yeah, we saw Russ there.
Yeah.
Russ is going to dox us, our location.
Barry, he's gonna need an explanation Google. What that means. I'm going.
I'm going.
You got to explain what dox means. Hashtag nommies. All right.
No, I think you're safe. I don't even think I would remember where your camp was.
That's fine. I mean, last year, group doing it first time was such a big hit for us that we've been pushing real hard to reach that. Because we don't have, like, you know, numbers like some of these other groups do. Like, you know, Redaroo has, like, what, 150, 200? It's wild. I mean, it's just our friends and friends of friends. So we'll probably be, like, around 25 again.
That's a good group.
I was impressed with your group. Great group size.
You're not trying to do things with the group, though. You're not trying to all go to the same show and herd that many cats, right?
No.
Okay.
we'll have like one or two.
How did everyone shows up?
Right.
How did this year? I was going to ask. How did this year's ticket buying experience? Did you guys dive deep into that with all the different options in the a la carte? Type of stuff, or because of the way you do it, is it pretty much the way you did it last year?
Yeah, I mean, Michael, Jake, and I go before the lineup goes, so we do the pre-sale. And that isn't, like, typically too busy, so pretty simple for us. We're still in our mid-20s, so we're not exploring, like, VIP or GA+ or anything.
Man, you look terrible for mid-20s.
Thanks. That's what Hams does to you. That's what Hams does to you.
Oh, another satisfied customer of the Hams product.
You're really selling it.
Put that on the sign.
When you hit 30, you'll graduate to PBR.
Michael, you said something really interesting just now that Parker had to poke you to go to Bonnaroo, and you finally said yes in 2019. What was the holdback? Why were you saying no?
Well, okay. For starters, by that point, I was just kind of a broke college kid. But the whole idea of like, all right, we've got a group trip to Tennessee, and it's like planning that whole idea, and it's a camping fest. And I'll be forthright and say this. I normally hate camping in every single aspect of it. I like having a shower. I like having a bed. I like having a place to go, you know, rest. And being explained that it's not only kind of an all-day, all-night party, but it's not necessarily camping, I was curious.
Mm.
So, especially with, like, the freedom of how kind of everything works in relativity to time compared to, like, a city fest where 10 o'clock curfew cut off in Chicago and that's it.
Yeah. When Parker was explaining this to you, what about it made you say yes? Was it a lineup? Was it all your friends were going? What was eventually the thing that got you over the hump?
Honestly, the lineup was such a small part of it because I think I decided before like that lineup dropped. It was just this. I was really curious about like how long music could go at a certain like festival and just kind of like. So the whole idea is you kind of bring all your stuff. You are watching stuff from like noon to like 4 a.m. And that whole idea at that point was just really curious to me, especially with like a bunch of artists hearing that they collab at the festival or like Chance the Rapper is like the mayor of the like just random things like that seemed really interesting. It's like, I want to see this for myself.
Yeah. And so because I'm guessing you had never really done a camping festival before that and it was all city based stuff like Lollapalooza. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is an interesting thing because, Barry, I remember the reason why I started going in the first place, but that was in 2002, 2003. I can't imagine what the thing would be now, mainly because I guess everybody's done it. Why? I got to do it. I guess I got to come now. But the fact that you sort of are pointing to a culture that Bonnaroo has created seems a little bit more honest than this idiot who'd be like, ah. Peer pressure.
I mean, I like festivals, so I want to try everything at least once, and this was different than what I had been doing at that point, so.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Proximity was huge for you and me, Brad. I mean, it was so
that
close.
That really is, yeah.
Yeah, if we'd have had to come from Iowa or Minnesota,
yeah,
probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I hear they call it the land of clear blue sky.
Sky blue waters, clear. Yeah.
Close. Sky blue waters, damn it! Yeah.
Sky blue waters,
ah, wow, so close.
It's printed on the can, isn't it?
Is it?
No.
What can?
Is
it on the Hams can? Is it not on the can?
It's on the box.
I think like the special edition.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Damn it.
So, Michael, obviously your expectations and hopes were met because you keep going. But what was your expectation, and then? How was it, I assume, better? I can only assume, because you went back.
Right. No, my expectation was just, like, as long as, you know, the sets sound good, and, you know, I get not only entertained by, you know, the music that I'm seeing, or just, like, but also, like, the extra amenities. Like, I'll be completely honest, the whole concept of we're in the woods kind of was just like, yeah, that's a really cool idea. Like, you can just go somewhere else off in the corner and not go to the actual festival and do whatever you want. And they had an arcade system there that year. And like, this place is fun. And everyone's like really like unbelievably nice.
That's another thing. That's right. Everybody is just so damn happy. And you know, you just don't ever find, you never get crossed by another person. We've said it a million times. The brand is so strong that people believe in it so much. Barry, we've never once seen a fight. And I can't go a year at Lollapalooza without seeing some idiot throw hands over a corn dog.
Yeah. Never a crossword.
Yeah.
You know, hey man, you know, getting you dropped your wallet or you got out of line to go to the bathroom, you're back.
You're fine.
You know,
you're fine.
Get back where you were.
Yeah.
I know it happens all the time.
So when you show up, you guys now, how many years is this now for you, Parker? Five?
This will be seven.
Okay. What has been the biggest challenge, Michael, for you, like finding your way into this world, or has everybody sort of like navigated it for you almost because they've been there so long?
I would say, yeah, that part, just kind of like, I remember my first year, Parker had like a whole PowerPoint set up, just like, here's how to navigate. It's like, so there are five stages, what, which, where, or what, which, that, this, the other, and I'm just like, whose idea was this? Like, who sat down and thought this was a great idea? And I'm into it now.
Well, it makes for a really bad podcast name.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't help us at all.
SEO is a tad difficult. Yeah.
Didn't help us a lick.
Well, originally, and we're talking to fellow high-level podcasters, but the thing that got me was I wanted no one to listen to it. So my goal with Barry when because Barry really wanted it to work, I kept saying to him, I just don't want anyone to find this. I want no one to listen to it. I don't want them to call. I don't want them to have anything to do with this product. But yeah, I'll do it. Sure. It's fine by me.
Well, for like the first year, if you searched for the What Podcast on Google, it would just give you the definition of a podcast.
What is a podcast?
Yeah. What is a podcast?
Unless you put one of our names in the search, you couldn't find
it.
Yeah. Exactly how I wanted it. Exactly how it was designed.
That's called being indie.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that is me.
Yeah.
That is me. So, Parker, this for you, the biggest challenge that you've gone through as you've gone from just a regular attendee to then doing a podcast about it, then to becoming a big group. What's that transition been like?
I mean, just making sure that my shotgun game is up to date. And
okay, and you're practicing now. Is this you're in training, high level training right now?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Michael, shotgun one right now. Right now.
I just drank my sugar free Red Bull, so I'm out. Sorry.
Why? I mean, this should be the time that you do. You've gotten all hyped.
I did.
Your hype is high.
My sorry. One sec. Smash it on my head.
anything to trash that hat. Anything to trash that hat. I'll tell
you. To be honest, though, the challenge is just like, you know, because I feel like you've been going so long. I feel like you see people with the immaculate camp setups. You feel like you should be there, right? Like with the inflatable couches and the air conditioned units that like people bring and stuff. But like we're still just lugging around a lot of the same stuff. And yeah,
that's us. That's us. No, that's us. That's what we do. We got to bring the AC, the couches, the coffee tables, the chest of drawers.
You got a Bissell? You bring a Bissell?
I bring a vacuum.
Vacuum, yeah, real couch, not an inflatable
right.
couch.
Right. And I mean,
along those lines, go ahead.
Part of it is just because
I was going to ask Michael.
Yeah, so since we got to go so far, and that's another part of it. And actually, with our group expanding, it makes it logistically more challenging since we have people flying in and thus not driving. We then have to save room in our vehicles for their stuff. It's the last couple of years with group has made things more, I don't know, Michael, what would you say? More complex.
I would say the last
mid.
Yeah. That's the best way. Not mid is good, but no.
These vibes are complex.
Along those lines, I wanted to ask Michael, cause you'd be a good person to ask. Cause the camping thing is a big issue for a lot of people.
Yeah.
What is the thing that has made it okay for you? What is is there one or two things? Like a lot of people think of it that we just sleep in a sleeping bag in a mud pit, you know, and but our camp is, I mean, we've spent a lot of years doing it. So we bring a couch, we bring carpet, we're laughing about it, but we have when we do it right, we have a Bloody Mary tent. it's not exactly, you know, as horrible as people imagine. So what was the thing? I mean, you talked about the music, you talked about getting here, the people are so nice and all that. But as far as that camping issue, for the person who's out there thinking, I'm not sleeping in a tent or a sleeping, people even look at me like, you sleep in a tent? And I'm like, yeah, I do, and I enjoy it, and I sleep well. So what has it been for you? And and Parker, I'll ask the same. I don't know if you're a regular camper. Brad, you can look at him and tell he is not. Russ, on the other hand, has his bus and loves it. I mean, he does this every weekend. So for the what's been that thing for you, Michael?
I think for me, it's a fact where when I got there and we actually set it up and everything, I will say it helped joining a group of people who had been there before and figured out at least how to not just make it like, okay, we're in tents, but let's make this feel like a like just a bare bones apartment and all. And it was just really easy to just kind of to climb in. And the fact that while it is camping, you have so many like shops of just food or other necessities and a shower right by, where it's like, it's not necessarily full on. You're out in the woods. You have to like make a fire and all of that. And
honestly, that is exactly that is exactly what I thought it was the first year. That's why I was so panic stricken. I really thought I was bringing everything that I might have to kill a wolf. How do I protect myself? I had no idea.
I think I think the most tragic thing we ever attempted, though, Michael, was the pool.
Oh my!
We had that conversation too, very early, and it's a very bad idea.
It's
terrible.
It's
terrible.
I want it on the public record. I said this was a terrible idea before they committed to
it. You did,
yeah. Before they're like, we should try this, and they're like, no, it's gonna be a great idea. And only one person was caught pumping that balloon for hours.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I wonder who it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Michael shows up and we're like, oh, it's going to be fun. Here, and hand this pump that barely works and it keeps breaking.
Yeah.
And then it ended up deflating in under 24 hours.
Yeah, I also love the idea of all of this water that we should desperately be drinking when it's 107 degrees. Let's put it in this dirty pool and let it rot for about an hour and a half. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, second guy in is the one I'm talking about.
Which,
by the way, is the name of my favorite porno, Barry. Second guy in. Watch that every day.
Exactly.
To your question, Barry, it also helps. Like, you know, you put like a touch of money into it. We have a guy who goes with us who a recurring bit is the size of his cot. It's not one that
size
like,
of his what?
Size of his what?
Size his of what? What?
His what?
Size of his
didn't
what?
See that?
His
Heyo.
The size of his camping bed is takes up like a quarter of the space in someone's car.
It's a weird name.
What? Camping bed?
Yeah, I've never heard it called a camping bed.
Who isn't judged by the size of his cot?
You know, my cot is a shower, not a grower, okay? It's it doesn't fit in every vehicle I try to park it in, but it really is comfy.
Sleeps two.
Yeah. Most nights it's only one. Yeah, most nights it's only one. Oh, the cot jokes. All right, so I
make sure to wash your cot every year, by the way. When you get home.
Every year?
Well, you have to protect
once
it.
Once a year.
You know,
once
when a year, you're yeah. when you're not you have to protect it or else it gets it could get some sort of like, you know, dirt and grime and nastiness on it that
germs.
Really carries germs, sure. All right, so if you don't know this, but Camp Nut Butter, we tried to make it Disney World. You know, when we got set up there backstage, I started realizing that, oh my God, first off, I'm like you, Michael, I hate camping. I don't like anything about this. And my first few years were miserable, absolutely miserable. And I said to myself, if I have to do this, I got to figure out a way to make this comfortable because I can't spend 4 days like Taco can or Barry. I can't do it.
How were the vibes the first few years?
You know what? It's a haze. Hazy vibes. Very hazy, confusing vibes. I've told the story of my first Bonnaroo a lot of times, but it was the worst experience of my life. And I swore I would never go back. And, I mean, this was one of the first, it was the second year, and they really didn't have much control over anything. And it was a free-for-all in every possible way. The camping was a mess. I walked into it like you, Michael, thinking I needed to bring everything. I brought a giant grill and food as if, you know, we were going to be stranded for days. And, you know, it was just a, it was a very not thought out operation on my part. And then every time I went to interact with this festival, it just was a pain in the ass. Pouring down rain, one of the worst rainstorms I've ever been through in my life. There was no direction on the camp. So if you walked out into the camping area and you made a wrong turn, good luck, because there was no markers. There was no way to find your own your way back. So you just had to sort of like know how to get there. And we didn't think about that as we walked in. So we tried to walk back out to the car. It's dark. All hell breaks loose. We walk for an hour in the wrong direction. On one side, there's like a car on fire. On the other side, there is somebody on a top of an RV peeing off the side of it. Then a naked woman runs up to me screaming, PCP! Grabs me by the throat and slinkies down my body, and to the point where I had to literally like kick her off of my foot. And that's when we panic ran back to anywhere that we could, you know, sit down and regroup. We thought we were in the opening scene of Lean on Me, where the principal is just getting his head beaten in. And I was convinced at some point, like, somebody was just going to walk around and toss me a baby. And I would be stuck with, like, a Bonnaroo baby. And this is where...
Slap that baby down.
Just slap the baby. That's where I learned. Just slap the baby if somebody tosses you a baby. I mean, I swear to God, there was a guy walking through, like, when you get... Shakedown Street was, at the time in 2003, was legitimately a shakedown. That was not like, I don't know what it's like today because I haven't been down it in a while, but there were guys that were coming in that were selling literally anything they could find. Some guy tried to sell me shoelaces. Here's a dryer door. There was no way that you could get through there without somebody literally from randomly from Middle Tennessee who could just walk into the campsite, because it was pretty open at that time, and plop down on Shakedown Street and just sell everything that they've stolen from cars. It was wild. And I just, everything about it really just, I hated it. And so the next year, I talked to some of the people that went, and they tried to explain how you're supposed to do it and how this thing was supposed to be. And I didn't know any of that. I had no guidance whatsoever. And so it took the year after that for me to come back. And even then I was like, you know what? I'll go for one day. I'll sleep in the car and I'll go from there. And then after that, every year I started realizing, oh, I really want to do this and dive in. And that's when we met everybody else, part of Camp Nut Butter. Now Camp Nut Butter, we've got two couches, 700 square feet of carpeting. We've got white picket fence that goes around the entire campsite. You got a mailbox that you can leave us mail. Three giant tents. We've got a Bloody Mary tent. We have a kitchen. We have Twister. We have everybody's cartoon heads on sticks. We have a giant lit marquee. You know, it gets really goofy back there, but that was the only way that I was able to make this thing work.
Is the next step, do you have laundry?
We do need laundry service. Barry really wanted to enter into the conversation.
That dryer door.
I've got part of it already.
Yeah, my next.
Barry really wanted to include barnyard animals in the next round.
I want chickens.
He wants chickens.
I want chickens. I will say this because I've said it before. So I was in my early 40s, I guess, and the idea of camping, no way. The paper, I went the first year to cover it because there was traffic backed up from Chattanooga to Nashville. So it was a news story. And
that was
a
big story, yeah.
It was huge, and they sent me in a photographer, and we spent that first day up there, and I came home and told my wife, I said, I really want to go back. This is really cool, but I didn't want to camp. But 3 years later, they figured out that they couldn't keep sending the hourly employees, so they needed to send somebody who was on salary, and so that would be me. And I freaked. I spent 2 months reading everything I could on camping. you know, because like Brad said, I mean, I thought I was going to a third world country and I was going to have to pack everything, you know, didn't quite think I was going to have to kill a wolf, but it was pretty close. But at that time, all the concerts that I was writing about and covering, they were all the same. I mean, there were arena shows and every one of them was the same. It didn't matter if it was country or metal or whatever. I mean, you were so formatted. It was just dull. And so when I went to that Bonnaroo in 07, I was like, man, this is why I got into this business in the first place. This is really cool. I went for 2-3 years by myself, camped by myself, and then ran into these guys. And then Camp Nut Butter was born from that. And so then seeing McCartney, and I've written this many, many times, seeing McCartney, it's like, you know, this festival reminded me why I got into the business. Seeing McCartney reminded me why I got into music in the first place. So it's been a pretty big deal in my life. And I mean, that's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like the moment where it clicked for me that this was going to be something that became part of my entire identity. And I think I need to sort of like think about that, Barry, because you just said that there was a moment where you absolutely knew it was going to be part of you forever. I wonder what mine was. I have a couple of like highlights along the way, but I wonder if they were like the moment. Walking in and seeing Yeah Yeah Yeahs that one time, that first time, was pretty impactful. But I was on stage for that Jack Johnson show, and I looked out onto, this is the when he had to jump in after, I can't remember who canceled, but standing on there and watching him just sort of like by himself.
Was it Mumford?
Yeah, I think it was Mumford, yeah. And so I think that might have been the moment. I don't know. I have to really think about that, but that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I think it was on a Saturday night, I asked Ken Weinstein if he could get Ashley Capps. I needed a quote. Ashley Capps was a co-founder, and Ken sent it up so that Ashley actually came and met with me, sat with me for like 30 minutes, and we talked about the festival and what it meant to him. That was a big moment for me. That's when I really realized how big this thing was to the music world, not just me. So anyway, didn't mean to do all the talking.
Oh, no, you're good. If I had to say, like, the personal moment for me when it was, you know, I'm going to annoy everyone I know about this, was a 2015 Guster set in the afternoon. And I had, first time I'd gone solo to a show, and I went and they're playing Satellite, one of my favorite songs. And I'm like adjacent to this like pit of people dancing and vibing. They were probably, you know, very under the influence of something. And I'm just like kind of watching, chuckling. And then someone like targets me and like grabs me and like brings me in. And I'm like all of a sudden in the middle of this, you know, this thing for Guster Satellite. And I just remember being like, yeah, vibes were stupendous.
These are my people.
In that moment.
These are my people.
Guster's for lovers. Am I right?
Yeah. No, I mean, that is right. Like you look around and like, oh my God, they refuse to allow me to not have a great time. Those are my kind of people.
Right.
Yeah. I remember being in my tent early, whatever year it was, going to bed early because that's what I do. And I saw this balloon coming off of the stage, and it was Wayne Cohen and Flaming Lips. And I'm like, what the hell is happening over there? And I got up, went back out, and saw this amazing Flaming Lips show. And just like you just said, I was like, yeah, these are my people. This is cool. So I get it. Michael, do you have that moment?
Yeah, I would say ironically, probably the only What show I went to in 2019, Childish Gambino, was kind of that moment.
That's a pretty good one.
Just because it was like, that was a great show. And just kind of seeing, I don't think I'd ever been to a headliner show where it truly just kind of felt like, first off, there was a great view because, you know, the What has the good view mostly wherever you are, but just everyone was truly kind of into it. And that's something that like I've been to other headliner sets, like at Lollapalooza when I went, and it felt like there were a lot of watchers, but not a lot of just like, oh my God. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling everybody.
That was one of the his ability to connect with every single one of the 80,000 people was amazing, wasn't it? It felt like it was just for you, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, the same with me.
He's incredible. So I still, like, I can go back to, I don't know, 2009 with Radiohead. That was walking through the field trying to find friends and just sort of like saying to myself, I didn't want to go to the Radiohead show like an idiot. Well, who says that? But walking through the field, I'm being drugged to this Radiohead show, and I keep stopping like, oh my God, what in the world am I watching right now? But then, you know, the show that I reference all the time, no matter, you know, it's always McCartney, but when the Shakes had their first show at Bonnaroo on that Thursday, and they leave the stage and they start doing a second line through Bonnaroo with Rebirth Brass Band. I said this last week. I don't remember what, but watching them and the whole crowd just sort of like snake through Centaroo, and Britney's there just walking around hugging everybody. Boy, that really is a reminder of the chills that the place can bring you. Now I'm really struggling, Barry. I really want to find that moment. I know there's got to be one. I'm going to have to come back to you next week. I'm putting this on my list of things to do.
I think the moment for a lot of people was probably 2022 Bonnaroo and the Group Plaza Emo-roo. I think that shaped...
Was that it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people had a defining moment.
I can't believe I missed that.
It's the next time they print a book, that photos are going to be... Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about that? Tell me about the vibes that day.
Michael, vibe check?
Vibe check?
Vibes were all over the place, I would say. Right? Because, like, we're leaving during Japanese breakfast, and it's just like, okay, we got to get this mindset, like, of a scheduled event that we have and just soared. Like, as the time winded down, it just kind of soared up, and it was great.
Are you guys doing it again this year?
We're in talks.
Okay. Oh, you're in talks. Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to break news here. I don't mean to, like, step on the big breaking news. I know there's going to be a big announcement coming.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm sorry. Can we source this? Sources. I got a scoop. Guys, I got the Ruham scoop.
It's like sources. It's a bunch of words that basically say, we'll see.
Have Consequence write something about it. The announcement.
I will. Well, get on that. I wanted to play, before we go, I wanted to play a game with you guys because you know you are so well refined in your beer knowledge. Right. You are the quintessential go-to beer connoisseurs that also do a podcast about Bonnaroo. So what I'm going to do is ask you to identify if a beer brand is a real beer brand or a fake beer brand. Are you up to this challenge, Ham 1 and 3?
I'd say so.
Absolutely.
Okay, you think you can get through this very hard, this gauntlet of beer brands. All right, so real beer or fake beer brand, Schmitz, the Sportsman's Beer.
I'm
going to
go with fake.
Yeah, I'm saying fake.
Okay, from St. Paul, Minnesota, Schmitz is a real beer brand. That was back in the 60s and 70s. Let's go number two. Anaconda Malt Liquor.
Fake.
Parker. I'm going fake, too.
That is a fake beer brand. You are one for two, both of you.
That's from Black Dynamite.
Yes, it is. It sure is. Number three, Alamo Beer.
Real.
Okay. That is a fake beer from King of the Hill. You are one for three.
I need you to know that every muscle in my body is tense right now. The pressure is...
Well, you're an overachiever, so I can understand.
How's your cut?
My cut is stressed right now. Yeah.
It's stressed? A little stressed?
Stressed, okay.
A little taut.
How about the red, white, and blue special lager?
That's real. That exists.
That's real, I think.
Okay. First brewed in 1899. That is real. That is real. All right, you're 2 for 3. If you want to get, this is the only way that you can salvage anything. All right.
Yeah.
So, with this final one. Final one. Fallout beer. This is the Fallout beer.
Michael.
You know what? We're going to scratch that. Well, we're going to scratch that. I'm going to give you one more because I feel like that's too hard for you. So we're going to make it a little easier. The Girly Girl beer.
This feels real.
Okay. Well, the winner of this round is a Mr. Ham One, because the Girly Girl beer is the Married with Children beer brand. Congratulations, Parker. You have won something from Barry's basement. Barry, what do we have for him today? Right out of the basement.
So many choices.
I want that one behind you.
Nice. Ruhams, I'm so happy that you guys jumped on with us. We love you guys, and I'm excited.
Big Stan. Yeah, big Stan.
Are you a big Stan? Stan?
Big Stan.
Big Stan.
Wow.
Stan of the show. Okay. Yeah, I used that right, didn't I?
Yeah.
I think you can just Stan.
Just Stan?
I don't know if it's you need to be a big Stan.
Is it a noun or a verb?
It's both.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't know if you can big Stan. I think you just Stan.
The big is implied, right?
Yeah.
Super.
I mean, it is.
Just
no
like
one's
my cock.
Really gonna criticize you.
before. So first off, I'm really glad you guys did this. I'm really happy that you guys popped on. Thank you for making time, and of course the podcast. And then you guys are or are not doing emo night at the festival. You are or are not doing that again.
TBD.
Okay. Is it really that up in the air?
It legitimately is not set in stone.
Okay.
So
is
that's
there anything
why,
else you're doing it can't... Yeah.
Well, if anyone wants to start, like, you know, a petition or, a you know, an online petition that we can send to groupcamping at
GoFundMe.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
you'll
so
bite me.
What else do you do on site? Do you do anything other than the emo night on site?
Just party.
You know, we're down to if anyone swings by, we're down to shotgun a hams with anyone. The best way to enjoy it.
Okay, what if I swing by? What are we doing? What are we doing
are
if
we
I
doing?
Swing by other than shotgunning hams?
I think we sit awkwardly in silence because that's all we do.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. I am pretty much into that. Pretty
much just like get nut butter.
Yeah, this is sort of my move. Yeah. I mean,
we can complain about the heat.
I mean, I do bring Brian Stone along to tag along just so I have somebody to make fun of at all times.
Good.
So he does have to come sidecar.
It doesn't have to be us, thank God. Because when we
what's better if it's Brian?
Because in New York, I was that guy for a period of time.
That's why it's always best to have Brian around.
Yeah. It does become a little bit not just unnerving, but pretty annoying as shit. The fact that I just can't shut up. I just keep poking and poking and poking. It just never ends. It never ends.
And that's why I'm glad Ham 2 isn't here to defend himself.
Somebody buy that man some sort of facial scrubber. Has he, like, what you the amount of like stuff that he has to put into that face thing that he's got going on right now is out of control. Does he moisturize? Is it a Brillo pad? What is he using to keep it, you know, plump and alive?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The kid is now look like he's selling newspapers in the 20s on the side of the road. You know, he's like, "Oh, we got a newspaper." He sounds like he's got this whole new look, like he's a newsboy from the 20s. It's a very strange look. Anyway, it's just send him a picture. In fact, t- Taco, put a picture of him up on the screen here, and we'll let everybody enjoy.
Okay, we'll put a picture up right here.
Please, yes. Looks great. Looking fantastic. Parker, thank you for supplying us the photo of Ham, too. He's not here to defend himself. All right, so last thing before we go. The one piece of advice you're giving to anybody at Bonnaroo this year, whether it be a show to see, thing to do, thing to bring, not to bring, et cetera. What's Ham 1 and 3's biggest piece of advice for Bonnaroo 2023?
Stay cool and please don't go too hard too early.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the one I always break.
Mm-hmm. He always does. I tell Taco every year. What is my number? What is my number? I've got two rules, Taco, number one and number two. What are they?
Don't get your cot wet.
Yep.
And don't go too hard too early.
Those are my two rules.
I violate those every year.
Every year. Don't go hard on Thursday and just don't have sex. There's no need. Parker,
keep your cot dry.
Yeah, keep the cot dry.
Don't miss the Beths. That's a gimme though. So I'll follow up and say.
So are we?
We knew that. I don't know. Yeah, wear pads to Knocked Loose. Is my tip.
You guys really like this Knocked Loose, don't you? I just can't. It's just I get it's for some people, but it's not for me.
Ham 2 is the main.
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Ham 2 is the main lover.
This kid is really holding some aggression, isn't he? He's got a lot of like demons that he is holding in, isn't he? This kid.
He's got to sell a lot of newspapers. He's under a lot of pressure.
All right, there you go. Ruham Podcast, the next episode, I guess, is coming out in, what, June?
Day before. Yeah, day before Bonnaroo.
Day before. Also, Barry's very upset he's never been invited on.
No, I've been on.
Oh, well, that's how much I listen.
It was like early on, and I think it was one of the first to use like a camera, and it. Remember, it shot like up my nose, and all you could see was the top of my room, the ceiling of my room. Yeah, this was before I knew what I was doing.
Before he knew what he was doing.
No, I was on live. I was on live, and Brad, you even like texted me.
Oh, I did?
While it was happening.
Oh,
yeah,
no, I don't even remember this.
Man, it looks shitty. You need to fix that camera.
Hey, I'm always here to help. Always here to help, Dad. Ham 1, Ham 3, nice to see you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.